Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. This show is for the 15th of December, 2017. And this show will be the final installment on 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And we'll do a little synopsis of what's gone on. And this will end the books of the quote-unquote Old Testament. Now, on Monday the 18th, I am going to begin in the book of Jasher. In Hebrew, it is Yashar, and it means the book of the upright. And it's going to be a long road, because there are 91 chapters, and I will take them two or three, depending on the length of the chapter, at a time. So there's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 34 four shows. Scheduled for Yashar. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So that's going to be at least 11 weeks. That's a long one. So, but we're going in detail with the book of Yashar because it ties in with all the other Old Testament books. And then I will be doing the other, pardon me, apocryphal books as they come up. I probably will not do 2 Esdras because Pastor Eli, Pastor Greg Howard, and myself have been doing a long involved work on 2 Esdras. So you can refer to that. There's no point in me being redundant, but I will be doing my own take on some of the other books. And subsequent to that, I will be getting into the quote-unquote New Testament. Actually, it's a New Covenant. The Berit Kerasha. That's what we'll be doing. And that's going to take quite some time, because I'm going to nitpick. There's so much error in the King James. I will be using two texts. I will be using a King James, but I will also be using the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research out of South Africa, and I think it's New Jersey. They have an office up there. That is the Sacred Name Bible, and they have done a wonderful job. I haven't got one of the brand new ones. I really need to send off and get a new one, but I've taken care of the one that I do have, and it is it's marvelous. So I like it. If I'm just going to read the Scripture, that's the copy that I would take along, because I've basically memorized so much of it. It does not have the Apocrypha in it, so I will be using a New Revised Standard Version for some of the apocryphal books. But I have the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilees, and I will be using them, as well as an old time-worn Book of Yashar, Book of Jasher. And I have read it and read it and read it and made notes in it, and it's as bad as my King James Old Testament. It's really written in. It really is. And this King James I've got here, it doesn't even look close to what it did when I first got it. It's an old friend. I have really worked her over, and I have notes all over that poor thing. But that's neither here nor there. Let me clear my throat and get a little drink of coffee. This is late in the evening when everything is sort of quieted down here. And I can feel secure in recording that I won't be disturbed. So let me get the pipes clear, and I'll be right back with you. Ah, that's better, and it does not hurt nearly as much. If I have to cough, it is far less painful. I do need to use a nasal spray. The weather is atrocious here, so my sinuses are acting up. But let's get into this last chapter of Chronicles. This is when Yahoakaz rules Yehuda. Verse 1. Then the people of the land took Yahoakaz, the son of Yoshiahu, and made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. You can reference 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 30 for that. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Boy, that's a short time. Verse 3. And the king of Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, put him down at Jerusalem and fined the land 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. Well, here's verse 4. And you can reference Jeremiah 22, verses 11 and 12. And the king of Mitzrayim made Eliakim, his brother, king over Yehuda and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Same guy, different name. He changed his name. And Necho, that's the Pharaoh, took Joachaz, or Jehoiakaz, his brother and carried him to Mitzrayim. So he just was very unhappy with him. So he just took him out of office and took him away to Egypt and put his brother in. Verse 5, and you can reference Jeremiah 22, verses 18 and 19, and chapter 26, verses 1 through 6, and chapter 35, verses 1 through 19. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil, or wrong, did evil in the sight of Yahweh, his Elohim. In other words, he was a bad king. Verse 6, and you can reference verse 6, Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 38, chapter 36, verses 1 through 32, and chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. And also the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Verse 6. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, and bound him in fetters of bronze to carry him to Babel. And Nebuchadnezzar defeated Pharaoh Necho at Carchemish. That's north of Yehuda in 605 B.C. and subsequently conquered all of Syria and Palestine. Nebuchadnezzar bound King Jehoiakim in fetters, but for whatever reason, he wasn't carried back to Babel. And Dan 1 and 2, some suggest Nebuchadnezzar's father died suddenly. Nebuchadnezzar was in such a hurry to return to Babel and assume the throne, he allowed Jehoiakim to remain king. 3 years later, Jehoiakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. These are all notes before Nebuchadnezzar could respond. And Yahweh sent groups of the Chaldeans, Syrians, Moabites, and Ammonites to fight against Yehuda, and Jehoiakim was killed. And you can reference 2 Kings 24, verses 1 through 5, and Jeremiah 36, verses 30 and 31. But this is what it says in 2 Chronicles, verse 7. Nebuchadnezzar also carried all the vessels of the house of Yahweh to Babel and put them in his temple at Babel. So here is the end of Jehoiakim, verse 8. It's told in these other books. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did, and that which was found in him, in other words, evil, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Yehuda. And Jehoiakim, C-H-I-Y-N, his son, reigned in his stead. Okay. Verse 9. Jehoiakim was 8 years old. Now, there's a discrepancy there. In 2 Kings 24, 8, it says he was 18. Here, it just says 8. When he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Okay, it doesn't stand to reason that a little 8-year-old boy would be such an evil king. So he probably, as in 2 Kings, was 18. He was of the age of cognizance. He knew what he was doing. Okay, here is verse 10. Now, verse 10, part A, the first part of verse 10, you can reference Jeremiah 22, verses 24 through 30. 24 verses 1 through 10. Jeremiah 29 verses 1 and 2. And Ezekiel 17 verse 12. And part B, the second part of verse 10, you can reference Jeremiah 37 verse 1. And Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 13. And when the year was returned, that's springtime, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babel with the goodly vessels of the house of Yahweh, and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Yehuda and Jerusalem. So they've had a rapid change of kings. Boom, boom, boom. Verse 11. And you can reference 2 Kings 24, verse 18. And the book of Jeremiah 27, verses 1 through 22, and 28, verses 1 through 17. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, his Elohim, and humbled not himself before or from the presence of Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. Verse 13, and you can reference Ezekiel 17, verse 15. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by Elohim, but he hardened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto Yahweh, Elohe Israel, that's the God of Israel. So he was a bad king. Pardon me. Verse 14. Moreover, all the officers of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of Yahweh, which he had hallowed or made holy in Jerusalem. In other words, they brought all those idols and all that stuff back in after they had got rid of them before. They just would not listen. What do you do? This is us that we're talking about here. This is long ago. This is our people, our ancestors. And Yahweh Elohe of their fathers, that's the God of their fathers, sent to them by the hand of his messengers, rising up quickly and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. He was very upset that his house was defiled and his chosen people had abandoned him. What can I say? This is telling the dirty story right here. Verse 16. But they had mocked the messengers of Elohim and despised his words and mocked his prophets until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people till there was no remedy. 4:8-3:2. Here it comes. Verse 17. You can reference Jeremiah 21, verses 1 through 10, and Jeremiah 34, 1 through 5. Therefore, he rose up against them, the king of the Kasdi, that's the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or decrepit. That's the feeble. He gave them all into his hand. He would just let them kill everybody. Well, look at what's going on today. You say Yahweh's wrath isn't upon us. All this that's going on. No repentance on most part of our Israelite people. Now, the non-Israelites, we don't expect anything from them. But the Israelites, especially in these Judeo-Christian churches, absolutely worshiping the Edomites and going along with everything they say. Oh boy. Verse 18. And all the vessels of the house of Elohim, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king and of his officers, all these he brought to Babel. In other words, he looted Jerusalem. Verse 19. You can reference 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 8. And 2 Kings, chapter 25, verse 9. Here's the destruction of Solomon's temple. And they burnt, that's 8:3:1:3, to burn down and destroy with fire the house of Elohim, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all the palaces of it with fire, and destroyed all the precious vessels of it. In other words, they just, you know, his house had to go. He couldn't have his holy house among these apostate people. Verse 20, and carried into exile, that's 1540, that's one word, those that had survived from the sword to Babel, where they were to him and his sons servants until the reign of the kingdom of Parash, that is Persia. Persia conquered Babel. Okay. Whew. verse 21, to fulfill, in verse 21, you can reference Jeremiah 25, verse 11, and Jeremiah 29, verse 10. To fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Shabbat. All right, that's a yearly Shabbat. Shabbat for a year. As long as she lay desolate, she desisted from labor to fulfill 70 years. Now, this is mentioned in Daniel. 70 years. 70 years of Shabbat of the land. All right. Here is verse 22, but I want to comment on verse 21. Jeremiah stated that the reason for the Babylonian captivity was the people's stubborn refusal to obey the word of Yahweh. And that's in Jeremiah 25, 1 through 11. Okay? The length of the period of the punishment was chosen by Yahweh to highlight Israel's disobedience in not keeping the sabbatical years. This is one of the many sins of the people, but the penalty was a tangible lesson. I'm reading from the notes in this book. This is good. Why change it if it's right? From Yahweh, which was important for them to learn. It's pretty clear that when Yahweh wants something, his ways of achieving his purposes, he's going to get them done, even though there may be suffering. Well, we're suffering right now. The true believers are suffering. The sheeple are not. They don't know they're suffering, but they're suffering. They're being genocided, but they're oblivious. Can't tell them the truth. They don't hear it. But we know. We watch. And it's going to be that they're going to be killed until there's just the remnant. Remnant means a small part of the whole, and that's what's going on. There's a small part of us in Israel that are faithful, and a lot of Israel is not going to make it. Oh, that's terrible. Hey, no kidding. Why do you think I do these shows? Trying to wake my brothers and sisters up. And I preach to the choir a lot. A lot of people are following along with me and nod their head. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. It's because they go out and they tell others. That's the chain that Yahweh has set up. And I'm not alone in this. I don't get any big free ice cream or something. This is something that's a duty, and I take great joy in it. I work hard at it, but it's not a burden. It's a labor of love. Because I love my brothers and sisters, and the more that we can gather together, the better. So, here's the last part, the last two verses. And you can reference Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Koresh, K-O-R-E-S-H, not Cyrus, king of Paras, that's Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Yirmiyahu might be accomplished. Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Koresh, king of Paras, that he passed a proclamation through all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus says Koresh, the king of Paras, that's Persia, all the kingdoms of the land has Yahweh, God of the sky, given me. In other words, he conquered everything, including Babel. and he has appointed me to build him a house in Yerushalayim, which is in Yehuda. Who is there among you of all his people? Yahweh his Elohim be with him, and let him go up. He was going to build the second temple. Because the first one had been destroyed by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar. And Koresh was going to build. Now this guy was a Persian. And at that time the Persians were white people. That ends the book of 2 Chronicles and also ends the Old Testament. Now, I have taken it in the order that's in the Hebrew, okay? Not necessarily the King James, because they have grouped things together to suit their agenda, okay? This is how it is in the Hebrew. We have watched, especially in the Chronicles, King David's rise, Saul's fall, we have watched all that David did, we have watched all the building that he did, all his troubles with Saul and others, even of his own family. We have watched his sin with Bathsheba and Uzzah. We watched the ark moved and people touched the ark and died. And this whole thing has been an exciting ride. And we watched David grow old. Everybody grows old. And he passed it on to Solomon. And at first, and I say at first, Solomon's wisdom was profound. He was very wise. And then his ego got to him, or something got to him, and he started doing apostasy, and he brought in these other gods, and he had foreign women, and he did this, and he had all these foreign wives. He went crazy over women because he was the king and he had all that power, and he misused it. Yeah, pardon me there. I had a nose tickle again, and I had to take care of that. Solomon went king crazy, like a lot of them did. He was a man, and it got to him, and the power and all of that stuff. People start out with good intentions. We've had presidents here that have said they were going to do this and said they were going to do that, and then they get in office. But it's a little different here because these guys are all basically either rich guys or political hacks. And their promises are not worth a plugged nickel. I'm sorry. And that includes Trump. I mean, he's saying a lot of stuff. Now he's going to recognize it's a lie. And that's going to cause all kinds of problems over there. I don't know what's going to occur. I am not a prophet. I cannot predict the future. I just think it's a bad deal all the way around. Nobody wants him to do it, but he's going to do it anyway. So, okay. That may activate some actual terrorists, not false flag guys. But the real deal here, we don't know, you know. But it'll be an effective false flag. They may even do something, because our government is not above killing our own people and then blaming it on somebody else. We've seen that. But all this stuff was going on back in Israel in the days when we were there. Now, we're not there now. The Edomites and all the Ites are over there. There's not pure-blooded Israel isn't there. And the tribe of Yehuda isn't there. It's elsewhere. We're scattered all over the world. which is okay. Hey, you know, we're in dispersion. But the word of Yahweh is going out. We've got more people on EFR, especially in Europe, that are spreading the word. Those that hear and will listen, will hear and listen. Those that will not hear and will not listen, will not hear and will not listen. We can't force it on anybody. All we can do is give the word. It has to be sincere on the part. If you try to force it on people, they're going to rebel, just like this last king rebelled against Yahweh. And they're going to do evil, like they're doing now. They're going to go into apostasy, and they're going to bow down and worship and genuflect to statues and football players and whatever else, whatever kind of garbage they're going to revere more than our Father in heaven. They're going to revere men and objects of men and fake stuff. They believe the fake news. Easily swayed. They believe anything they see on the TV. Less and less, though, I must say that people are waking up and they don't trust national media, nor should they. But violence in our world is increasing daily. And you never know, no matter where you are, it's not just the Middle East, it's here and in England. When somebody's going to have some crazy idea and they're going to go off and they're going to do something, and you're standing there at a bus stop downtown waiting for a bus to go to some shopping mall or whatever, and somebody does something, and you're there and you're nobody, there's no reason for anybody to do anything to you. You're just an innocent bystander, but they do it anyway. This is the world we live in. So all we can do is have faith in Yahweh, because you can't plan for that. They're not going to issue a notice at 10:32 at the bus stop at 3rd and Main, I'm going to do something totally insane and kill a bunch of people. They're not going to give you some notice like that. They're just going to show up in all their craziness and do that act of violence. With absolutely, I mean, you out of the blue, you're standing there and bam. How do you protect yourself against that? Well, the answer is you can't. they want you to just stay and cower in your house. And that's not going to happen because the American people just aren't going to go for that. Some might, you know. I'm in my house a lot because it's warm and dry and I live here. And I'm old and I've had a heart attack and I'm recuperating and I'm this and I'm that and I'm doing all this. And I stay home a lot, but then I go out, I go to Wally World or I go to Kroger's or I do this or I do that, and I'm not living in fear. I mean, with Yahweh preserving me the way he has after this heart problem, and the magnificent healing that he's done with me, I'm not walking around in fear. Yeah, there's a possibility. There's a possibility that a truck could jump the curb and run me over. I can't live my life in fear. And neither should you. You have to trust in Yahweh, because even if I go down due to an accident, or even a real terrorist, which is very rare, they're going to pick the bigger cities, not some little dweeby city like I live in, because they wouldn't get the press here. They're going to pick some place that's highly occupied, and the possibility of panic of the population is more likely. So I go through my life, and I assemble with my brothers and sisters wherever possible, and worship Yahweh every day, and I pray to him at night, and I pray for the protection of true Israel and for the congregation and for those that love him and call upon his name. All of that requires participation on the part of those that we're talking about. Our people that love Yahweh are active. That's what he wants. He wants people to actively worship him. And he's not going to nitpick. The temple's not around. The Levitical priests aren't around. It's what is in our hearts, and he reads our hearts. And if you love Yahweh and you worship him and you try to keep the feasts and the fasts and all of that, that's what he's looking for. We don't need to nitpick among ourselves and fight among ourselves about tiny little items. We need to join together with these beliefs. Yahweh is our Elohim. He is the God of true Israel, and we are true Israel. Yahshua, Yahweh in the flesh, is the Redeemer of true Israel and no other, and we are true Israel. There is a very real adversary out there. We are very much aware of that. We need to oppose him in all that we do in our personal lives. That's the deal. We need to be faithful to our God. We don't need to worry about what other people are doing. We need to do what we need to do in our personal life. That's the main thing. We don't need to worry about the other guy. What am I doing that would please my Father in heaven? What can I do to please him? today. Each day, one day at a time. One day at a time, you know. How can I make my father happy today? What can I do for one of my brothers or sisters today to help them? What can I do as an individual, you know? That's the deal. Oy, such a deal. It's not hard. It really isn't. It really isn't. And all the scripture that I've been reading gives you examples over and over and over of what to do and what not to do. You're going to get more examples as I go into the next set of books. The book of Yashar, which I will be starting on Monday on the 18th, has a lot of stuff that's left out of the Old Testament scriptures. It fills in a lot of information. It is in a strange timeline. It's in the Masoretic timeline. But it jumps back and forth. It's going to be a little hard to follow in some spots because it goes back and forth. It's not a smooth timeline. Okay? So you will need to take notes and you will need to pay attention. My copy is an old copy. I have had it for years. Years and years and years. This was published in 1840. And the book of Yashar is mentioned in the book of Joshua, chapter 13. And in 2 Samuel, chapter 18. So, this is the one I have as a photolithographic reproduction, published in 1887. It is published by Artisan Sales. I don't know if they're still in existence. But this one was printed in... let me look here. This is very small print. 1988. And this is the 1990 printing. So this was printed back in 1990. That's not published. That means printed. Okay. And the name of the book is Sefer. That's Book of Hayashar, the Upright. Sefer Hayashar. And I'll be reading a lot of... notes, a lot of the preface from the translator, there's so much here. I'll get into it on Monday. I can't get into it now. I'll be very disappointed. I won't be able to stop. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. But brothers and sisters, this has been an exciting ride through the Old Testament. I have enjoyed it. I hope you have enjoyed it. I hope it has helped to educate you. All of my stuff is available for download, all of my teachings so far, on https://www.com/ Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, hyphen, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. It is not an interactive site. You can't post comments. You can't troll. Sorry. But no trolls. All kinds of stuff on the site to download or listen to there. And you can bookmark it and go back and pick up where you left off. The audio recordings are complete, even if they are cut off sometimes due to their length. On EFR, you can get the whole recording there. And you can download it. And I update it regularly. As soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to go and load this baby up. So, that's it. I'm recording this on Monday the 11th. So, it's going to be pre-recorded. And it'll be there waiting for you. And I do appreciate the listenership. I truly, truly do. I never ask for money. I just don't. If you want to donate, donate to EFR. Okay? I'm living. I'm fine. I got my computers. I got food. I got shelter. I have clothes. I'm blessed. I have my health coming back rapidly. I don't need any more. I don't need a Cadillac. I don't need a church with padded pews. I don't need jewelry. I need my brothers and sisters to convert and call upon the name of Yahweh. That's what I need. And that's all I'm about. I'm not about material possessions. I just don't care. At my age, who cares what I look like? I've got nice clothes. I've got nice clothes. I'm not a rag picker. But I'm not running around in a $1,000 suit either. You know, that's not what I'm about. That's not what this ministry is about. I mean, I don't ask for anything. But if you could support EFR, that would be a blessing. If you could support David James, send David some money. He could use it. I mean, he's having a tough time. All of us are. I've got a guaranteed income here. I paid into Social Insecurity, and now I'm drawing Social Insecurity. So I'm pretty well set, you know, until everything hits the fan and it stops. But I'll worry about that when it happens. Yahweh will take care of me. He always does. We have a new schedule at EFR. We have some new people at EFR. Michael from Sweden. Excellent shows. That's fun. We got a good lineup. And If you really appreciate what EFR is doing, you could very definitely help support it. Another place where you can find my stuff is www.thinkoutsidethebeast. That's all one word, no separations. .com. That's Brother Hebert's site. And he's got all kinds of stuff on his site that I don't have on my site. So there's another good site. And then, of course, David James, Boston. And that's full of goodies and music and everything else. It just, you know, on and on and on. I have links on my website to all these things. So enjoy. I'm coming down toward the end of this show. I have to leave a little bit of time for station ID, 3 minutes. So at 57, we'll cut her off. Shalom Aleichem, and I wish everybody peace and harmony in Yahweh. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. So at this time, I'll play the outro music and bow out gracefully. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahshua.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads again.